Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Parents Tool Talk Radio with your host, Jody Johnston Powell, licensed social worker, certified family life educator, second generation parent educator, and author of the award-winning book, The Parents Tool Shop, The Universal Blueprint for Building a Healthy Family. For over 25 years, Jody has been training parents and family service professionals nationwide and serving as a parenting expert to the media worldwide. Now, through the Parents Tool Talk radio show and teleseminar series, Jody shares her practical advice and introduces you to other experts who can give you proven effective advice on the issues that matter most to parents. So get ready to be informed, entertained, and enlightened as we join Jody now.
Hello, and welcome everyone to Parents Tool Talk Radio. I am so glad you've joined us today. I'm Jody Johnston Powell, author of The Parents Tool Shop, and your host. Our topic today is overindulgence. And the questions we're going to answer are, is it really possible to give too much to our kids? If so, why do we do it? And how can we know when it's happening and how can we respond? We're going to answer all those questions and hopefully many more, as well as share some really great resources with you during our program today. We want you to be an active participant on our show. So before we dive into the discussion, let me tell you how to ask questions during the live show. Just call 347-205-9654. That's 347-205-9654. And press the 1 key on your telephone keypad, and that will let us know that you've got a question. Or you can go to Parents Tool Talk chat room, and my producer, Chris Gooley, will take your question and pass it on. To do that, just get on your computer, go to parentstooltalk.com, and click the Play Chat button just beneath today's show title and description. I also want to give a quick reminder to all foster parents to check in at the beginning and end of the show if you want to qualify for continuing education credits. Just call in or use the chat room, and you may want to check the detailed instructions at parentstooltalk.com/links. Again, that's parentstooltalk.com/links. That's a great page to stay on today. We've got a lot of good resources. We have news, we have lots of stuff to tell you, and all the information is going to be on that page during this show. So foster parents, you can go to that page and click on the link that says CEUs for foster parents. So let me now introduce who my special guest is. Jean Ilsley Clark is a certified family life educator and internationally known parent educator and workshop leader. She is a teaching and supervising member of the International Transactional Analysis Association and a nationally certified family life educator. She has a master's degree in human development, and she's also been awarded two honorary doctorates, the first from Sierra University and the second from Concordia University in St. Paul. Recently, she was named Distinguished Alumni of the Year and given the Larry Wilson Award by the College of Human Ecology at the University of Minnesota. She is also an experienced mother of three. Jean is author or co-author of more than 20 books, including Self-Esteem, A Family Affair, and Growing Up Again, Parenting Ourselves. Parenting Ourselves, Parenting Our Children. Her most recent book is How Much is Enough? And it helps parents recognize when they're overindulging and what they can do instead. Her test of four gives readers a clear way to identify overindulgence. The many stories in her book, all of which are true, show what overindulgence of children looks like at different ages and what parents can do instead. And I haven't had a chance to tell Jean this, but my mother and I were talking, and she, to this day, still references Growing Up Again for some of the training programs that she does to help people work through childhood trauma. So she was thrilled that you were going to be on the show, and I, too, am thrilled. So, Jean, it's great to have you on the show. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
Good. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I am really excited about having you on the show, not only aside from the fact that you are such an expert in the field and we all love and respect you so much, but I think this is a really important topic. more and more this is coming up. I've been in the field for 30 years, and when I started doing parenting classes, I think I saw more parents who were on the over-controlling, autocratic, harsh side, and I've really seen a major swing over those 20, 30 years, far more over into the overindulgent side, sometimes to the point of just kind of abdicating and not doing anything in terms of permissiveness. So we're really seeing a lot of the effects of that, and I really welcome this book and your expertise on our show today to give us more information.
Great.
Good.
I'm here to give it, believe me.
Good. You're ready to give it.
Yes.
Good. Well, share with everybody else and me also, what really sparked your interest in the topic? I kind of shared why I'm interested in it, but what really sparked your interest?
When Connie Dawson and I wrote Growing Up Again, and the first issue was in 1989, we devised what we called a parenting highway, which includes all of the things that parents do. They give nurture, they give structure, they criticize, they overindulge, they abandon, they neglect. We wanted to get that all on the chart. And the one piece that we didn't really know anything about was overindulgence, because neither of us had been overindulged in. It was the first time I'd ever researched something that I didn't have.
Uh-huh.
And we did the best we could in that book. We interviewed a couple of friends who'd been overindulged as children. And then the response of readers and the people that we worked with in classes was, we need to know more about this.
Yeah.
So I had been doing research on kids and families with Dr. David Bredehoff from Concordia University, St. Paul, for, 20 years. And so Dave and I started a research project, and the idea was, we were both busy. It's easy to be busy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so Dave said, well, I'll search the research, and we'll find a really good study and replicate it, and that will add to the body of knowledge. Jody, there was nothing. There was no research.
Really?
People talked about spoiling,
uh-huh.
but there was no research on overindulgence. And that's what got us started. And then once we then had to collect the initial groundbreaking data. And for a start, I interviewed people who told me they had been overindulged as children. And we went with that data to create our first study. Mm-hmm. And I was hooked because it was so secretive and so painful. And I've been hooked ever since.
In terms of their experiences were so secretive?
Yes.
Wow.
You see, Jody, if if I say to you, I was beaten as a child and tied to the bedpost,
uh-huh.
What do you say to me?
It's kind of a wow, and I don't know what to say, and how horrible.
Yeah, how horrible.
Yeah.
If I say to you, and this actually happened to a friend of mine, that when the fashion was for dyed to match cashmere skirts and sweaters, I had 31 sets.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's what you say. Oh, my gosh. And then you go, then some people go on to say, lucky you.
I
wish I'd had some of that.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't lucky. It was very unlucky. And what that unlucky has amounted to that we've been studying ever since.
Did the people who shared, especially initially, and way back when, did a lot of those people recognize or feel that that was a disadvantage to them, or was it more like, I had 31 outfits?
No.
So they recognized.
We had less than 1% of our whole sample that said they liked it.
Wow.
And
that's really revealing.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked that there was no research. I mean, I know some areas of research have come a little bit later, but I am very surprised. So really, I mean, you did the research for this.
Yep.
And that's part of why you wrote the book, was because there wasn't any definitive research or information on the subject.
That's right.
Wow.
And there are lots of books about it. And
yeah.
Some of them are very helpful.
Uh-huh.
For example, a lot of them are about a specific kind of overindulgence.
Uh-huh.
And so if you are overindulging, to convince your friends that you can afford to buy brand name clothes, there's a book about that.
Okay.
And if you get that book, it can be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't really research-based in terms of really looking at research.
Yeah, and then there is another book that claims it's research-based. And what that author did was to interview parents and say, do you overindulge?
Mm.
And, of course, this is
right.
I don't think I'm overindulging. I have granddaughters, five
yeah.
of them. All different ages.
Uh-huh.
And when I want to do something for them that's over the top, you see, I don't think it's overindulging. I
yeah.
think it's because I'm a loving grandma.
Yeah.
And so we had to go to people who were overindulged and ask them how it has impacted their adult lives.
Okay.
And, of course, the shocking thing about it, Jody, is it is not what parents intend. It's not done from meanness. It's done from a good heart.
Yeah, and that's been my experience also. I'm very non-judgmental of parents in the first place, but I just really see that while some may be misguided, you know, some ineffective parenting may be misguided, or even just, you know, replaying out patterns, you know, from childhood. I just see that a lot of times the overindulgence can result from either I was deprived so I wanted to give everything to my children, or I'm so in tune with them, I just want them to have all the best. It's just all from good intentions.
That's right.
And I think if that's something we really want to get across to parents today, is that it really is usually of good intentions.
When I am overindulging, it is from a good heart.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know any parents who get up in the morning and look at each other and say, now, honey, just to be sure that the kids have some misery in their adult lives, let's really overindulge today.
Yeah.
See, that's not how it happens.
Yeah.
We do it because we don't realize. And
yeah.
the other part that's hard is we do it for our own need.
Right. Yeah.
I do it for my need as a grandma because I want to have fun with my girls. I want
mm-hmm.
them to be happy.
And
then when I do too much, they start to get not fun to be with.
Yeah. And I don't know that when people are doing it that they realize the consequences that there are, and that's something that I know you're going to be sharing with us. So would you say,
Jody, they don't have a clue, or they
right.
won't do it.
Yeah, right. So that's why I'm really looking forward to getting into some of this information. So would you say that the number one thing that's important for parents to know is just that is that overindulging is out of good intentions, or?
The one thing I would want them to know, if they can know nothing else, is that it comes from a good heart and it is the gift that keeps on hurting.
Mm.
That's Connie Dawson's line, my co-author.
Yeah.
It's the gift that keeps on hurting. And this, of course, is not what I intended.
Not at all. This has got to be really shocking. You know, for people who are trying to do the right thing, they're trying to be good parents, they're very loving, they're very giving. You know, they're not yelling, they're not hitting, they're not doing all the things that people would very easily recognize as being harmful. They've got to be shocked to realize. So let's talk about some of these effects. Now, in order to talk about the effects, because you've been mentioning those, do we need to talk about the different kinds of overindulgence first before you can, because my guess is maybe there's different outcomes depending on what type.
Well, I think that's really important because the first thing out of the research that really put us in shock, and you can go into research thinking, I'm putting aside all of my prejudgments,
mm-hmm.
you know, hey, we're human beings, we can't do that.
Yeah.
And I, like many people, had assumed that overindulgence was about too much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Too many toys, too many clothes, too much stuff you buy. And when we got our first sets of data in and people told us what made life really hard for them, too much stuff was not first. What was first were two items. One was they did things for me that I should be doing for myself. And the second one was no chores, no rules. And, Jody, I was in shock.
Yeah.
I do stuff for kids because I'm a good mom.
Right, and I'm happy to do them.
And I'm happy to do that even when I'm tired. And sometimes even when I'm grumpy, I still do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's also some beliefs behind that, too. And I think we're getting away with that generationally. I know when my mother was a mom, you know, of young children, it was much more of a gender role also, you know, for moms to just do everything and kind of, you know, wait on the family and that type of thing. And I think we've gotten away from that, but I often wonder if working moms also, you can't get away from maternal guilt whether you're home or you work. It seems that there's always a tug between, you know, work and home and what
haven't
you're doing.
We done
and
that?
Whether or not that contributes to the, I need to make up for this.
Haven't we done that well?
Yeah.
We have done such a good job of putting women in a position of no matter what you do, you're guilty.
Yeah.
I'm just so irritated by it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you look at these millions of moms who are doing the very best that they can in whatever their circumstances, and then
mm-hmm.
we say you're guilty.
Yeah.
Well,
so it sounds go ahead.
We found many reasons that parents overindulge.
Mm-hmm.
I realized after I read them that I had assumed that it was because I didn't have this and I wanted my children to have it, and that's not how it is. I think we identified over 32 different reasons. So
wow.
why a person overindulges is really part of their story. And if I see you doing what I think is overindulging, it may not be. I don't have a clue why you're doing it unless you tell me.
Okay.
Now, if you say, I never had ballet lessons, and my little girl is going to have ballet lessons, then I know why you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I don't know. So we need to be very careful about judging other people.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is it's not so much the behavior that we see, although some may be more obvious than others. It's the motivation behind the behavior that really identifies more clearly whether someone is overindulging or not. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that why we overindulge, why we get into this,
mm-hmm.
is individual.
Okay.
The behaviors are out there, and we will later look at the test of four to help parents see whether a particular thing they want to do is overindulging, because you can only take it one piece at a time.
Right, and one person at a time, because you said it's very individual.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, then let's give folks a chance to call in, because I would really like for people to participate, and what you're doing is very similar to what I do in that I may have, you know, a system and some research and some standards there, but the way you apply it is very individual. So I'm hoping that folks will call in. We do have a couple of questions up front and also have some examples on hold. But let me just take a quick break, and if you want to catch your breath and just get a drink, it'll only take a minute or so. But let me tell people how to call in again so we can get them involved. Let me take a few quick minutes. I'd like to welcome any of you who just joined the show. This is Parents Tool Talk, and I'm your host, Jody Johnston Powell, author of the Parents Tool Shop. And our topic today is overindulgence, and we are talking with Jean Ilsley Clark, who's a certified family life educator and author of the book, How Much is Enough? If you have any questions during the show or would like to share an example that we can then use to discuss how to tell and apply some of what Jean will be sharing with us, just call. There's two ways. You can either call in, and the number is 347-205-9654. I'll say that again, 347-205-9654, and hit the number 1 on your phone keypad to raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, we're going to see you in the switchboard, but assume that you're just listening. So if you have a question, be sure to hit that 1 key, and then we'll know that you do have a question. The other way that you can do it is to use the chat room, and you just go to parentstooltalk.com, and then you click on the play chat button that's just below today's little player for today's show. The other way that you can get access to this month's resources, Jean and I are going to be sharing a lot of resources with you. We're making those all available to you. Those of you who are listening after the fact, it's available for about a month. But those of you who are on our list, you will get the resources by email so that they will never expire. And to do that, you want to sign up for the Parents Tool Talk mailing list. You will not only get links to our featured resources, both from me and from my guests, but you'll get information about upcoming show, tips on how to download the recordings to your computer, how to subscribe to an RSS feed, and more. It's really the only way to get exclusive information about future radio shows and access to the bonus resources and discounts that we often only offer to our loyal listeners. So to sign up for that mailing list, go to parentstooltalk.com/links. That's www.parents, with an S, tool, T-O-O-L, talk, all one word, .com/links, L-I-N-K-S. And know that I will never share your private information with anyone for any reason. You do get on the main Parents Tool Shop list just because this is a sub-list of that. But we really encourage you to stay on that page today. We're going to have a lot of resources. Jean's going to be referencing some handouts. And so go to that link and check out those resources while we're talking. So let me get back to our guest expert, Jean Ilsley Clark, and our topic today of overindulgence. I think we're really ready to go in and have you help us understand what the three different types of overindulgence are, but tell us how we can tell the difference and what some of the different long-term, the risks and the long-term outcomes of each of the different approaches, how they might be a little bit different.
Okay, let's start with too much because that's easiest for us to see.
Okay.
We walk into the kid's bedroom and the floor is covered with clothing. We walk through a room and there are toys everywhere and some of them are broken and some of them are never played with. Too much. So what our research subjects have told us was my parents gave me lots of toys. I was allowed to have any clothes I wanted. And they overscheduled me for activities, lessons, sports, camps, etc. So too much is anything that costs money.
Okay.
And one of the outcomes, one of the risk factors is the same as it is for all of them, and that is not knowing how much is enough.
Right.
And in my original interviews, Jody, I had one woman who said, middle-aged woman, who said, I hope that before I die, I have one half day when I know how much is enough. And I say,
wow.
I said, enough of what? And she said, anything.
Food,
clothes, love, money, activity, rest, anything.
Wow.
So those of us who know how to say, well, that's enough of that.
Yeah.
Don't have an understanding of people who don't know when to shut it down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one of the very giving people, they just give. And it's,
yeah. Yep, they do. And if grandparents overindulge, then the parent with stuff, then the parents can put the brakes on it. They can say, Grandma brought three gifts. we're putting two of them aside so you can really focus on this first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll bring another one out, or something like that.
Right.
But it is not the grandparents who overindulge. Primarily, it's the parents. And
that's
my
interesting.
My grandparent friends complain that they can't overindulge because the parents have already done it. And
oh,
so
interesting.
We feel kind of gypped, Jody.
Because, well, and that's actually one of the questions that we got in advance of the show by email, is that a lot of grandparents kind of believe they have earned the right to spoil their grandchildren and then turn them back over to their parents. So,
right.
But in terms of your research, you're not really seeing that that's the majority. Not that it doesn't happen.
No.
Yeah.
Correct. And the other thing is, if parents overindulge and then the parents get to sort it out, it's a drag for the parents. However, the kids start to learn that there are different rules in different houses and that you have to adjust your life to that.
So
and that's not a bad learning, Jody.
So what you're suggesting then is to go ahead and allow the grandparents to spoil, but then just like your example before of setting limits, you know, if they give too much, of saying, well, we're going to put two away and you can play with one, we'll rotate them out. So just to set, not so much to try to change the grandparents, but to just set boundaries in, the parents set boundaries in their home in terms of how things are going to be and that that's just different when they're with grandparents. Is that your suggestion? Or tweak that to make it accurate?
Let's tweak it. Let's say how much is the overindulgence. If it is a little bit or enough that you can manage, you can say, there's Grandpa over the top again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh my. And we love him dearly, and he just does love to give you stuff. And so how are you going to thank him so he'll feel appreciated?
Mm-hmm.
If the overindulgence is such that it debilitates the child or the grandparents, then you do whatever you can think of with those particular grandparents to get it stopped. Sometimes you have to say, before you buy all those toys, figure out the amount of money, buy two toys, and put the rest in the college fund.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes there are grandparents who take it to such lengths that the parents are not able to overbalance it. And that's a real problem. That's when we need help.
Yeah.
So there's that whole continuum of parents who do it sometimes and a little bit and parents who just shower. The worst, all of the stories that I tell either happen to us or were told to us as authentic.
Yeah.
And one of them is one of my colleagues was talking with a grandpa and suggested that they might like to go some kind of a south for the winter, where I'm in Minnesota. And he said, well, we can't because our grandson needs, hear the word, needs, a new computer, a new television, and a new player for his room. And my friend said, my goodness, all at once, how old is this grandson? And the grandpa said, 3. Well, Jody, that's so far off the edge that we just have to take a deep breath and say, these parents need help.
Yeah.
And the grandpa does too.
Right. So in the situations where it is, and it's a giving too much of things, of setting some boundaries with the grandparents as if it's overboard.
Yep.
And I would imagine, too, that how often children see the grandparents, and obviously this is going to be an issue for parents because they're almost always with their children, but with the grandparents, I would imagine that how often they're with their children would also make a difference in terms of how much this affects the parents, how much you start to see the outcomes with the children. You know, if parents live in town and they're over there all the time, then that may be different than if they only come in, you know, a couple times a year or they're out of town, and then it's probably a lot easier, actually, probably to set those boundaries or say, oh, well, you know, this is just going to happen a couple times.
Yeah. Well, I have some opinions on this. We don't have any data on this.
Okay.
Because what we did pick up is that there are long-distance grandparents. We find one now and then who just keep sending stuff.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah.
it still becomes much the individual.
So frequency.
Now, another risk factor on too much is that children don't seem to develop respect for things and other people. And let me give you an example. A young boy, maybe 7 or 8, and that's old enough. You know, the brain is mature enough then to have some of these rules and understandings about empathy and other people.
Mm-hmm.
And he broke something, not intentionally, but carelessly, that was dear to me. And because it was my grandmother's, it couldn't be replaced as such.
Yeah.
And I was upset. And he turned to me, and you can imagine his body posture. He just looked so disgusted. And he said, "What are you on about? Buy yourself a new one." Well, this is no concern for the thing, the property that he broke, and no concern for me or my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a child who is not learning appropriate developmental tasks for his age. We try to sock some of that stuff in between 3 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
Kindness, good manners.
Right.
Being responsible for yourself. And we work at it all of their lives.
But I can see that a lot. Oh, go ahead, finish.
Starting at 8, you know, I mean, this kid needs help.
Yeah, and I can really see the logic here with focusing on the too much approach, because if you know that stuff will just keep coming to you or that all you have to do is ask and it'll be given, then what's the big deal if something gets broken or if it's not taken care of or, you know, or if something happens to someone else's belongings or if you mess theirs, you know, then, well, isn't everybody like me, you know? Can't you just get another one?
Sure. And
yeah.
Children work with whatever we offer them.
Yeah.
So this is a smart kid. He's learning the lessons. He's just learning lessons we wish he weren't.
Right. So now, anything else that you want to say about too much? Because I've got a couple questions that are popping into my mind about some of the other.
Well, let's go.
Okay. Because I'm starting to have scenarios popping into my mind now in terms of it's not so much time, but it's more how much people do for them, which fits with the one that you had mentioned of doing things for me that I could be doing for myself.
Yeah.
So share with how that's different. What I heard about the too much is that the frequency and the intensity is really key factors in determining how much damage that approach can do. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good start.
Okay. Okay. we're going to keep digging down then. Okay.
Yeah, we are.
So let's define the other two and so we can kind of get to the same level with them, and then we can kind of open it up and start looking at scenarios and we'll be able to see better how to kind of categorize these.
Well, when we look at what we call over-nurture or doing too much, what are research people have told us, and by the way, we're now on our 10th study, and
wow,
our data so far is very consistent.
Interesting.
What they told us is that parents did things for them that they should do for themselves, and that's just handing the baby the toy instead of letting the baby learn to reach for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's cleaning the room instead of teaching the child step by step how to do parts of it.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the mother who called the young bride and said, "Does my son pick up his clothes?" And the young bride said, "Well, no." And the mother said, I asked him 2-3 times and he didn't, so I did it for him. Well, this had impact on his marriage.
Yeah.
This was not what she intended.
Yeah.
They also said, my parents were overloving and gave me too much attention. You are always the center of the of attention.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a party the other evening where a child whom I know, who absolutely dominates the center of attention in her home, couldn't get it at the party. And pretty soon, she was feeling sick.
Oh, that's her to get attention.
Little thing. You know, no, maybe she really was, except
right.
This is not the first time I've seen this happen.
Right.
Because children try to figure out things that work.
Mm-hmm.
And if her scenario is that she's okay when she's the center of attention, Jody,
right.
She has to figure out ways to do that.
Exactly.
And her parents need to teach her that everybody gets turns being the center. Everybody gets turned.
Okay.
My parents allowed me lots of privileges. Well, this goes back to like the boundaries that you were talking about on too much. Paying attention to, you don't always get to do what you want.
And it's not just freedom either, right? I mean, it would be also things like TV is not a need, it's not a right, it's a privilege. Computer games and video games are not a need or a right. They're a privilege.
Jody, how forward-thinking you are. Right. Correct.
Yeah. Of setting boundaries with those things, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my parents made sure I was entertained. So I met a mom recently, darling young mom, good heart, who said, I didn't get to finish this because my daughter came home from school, and when I asked her if she'd had fun today, she said no, so I had to stop what I was doing and take her to the park.
Oh, that's her responsibility, huh?
It's her responsibility.
Yeah.
And whatever happened to what did you learn today?
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn today?
And so learning how to play by yourself and how to be by yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that school is not entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. Did you have fun today at school? Yeah.
And then the other thing that I wonder about, if we keep saying to kids, did you have fun today? Did you have fun on the bus? Did you have fun at the park? Did you have fun at school? Did you have fun at grandma's? If fun doesn't become a job for the child.
Mm-hmm.
Because I watched one little girl I know say, well, yeah, I had fun, when I had been the event where she was, and I knew it hadn't all been fun.
Uh-huh.
But instead of getting the chance to share with her mother how she had coped, she just said, yes, I had fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to black out, did you have fun? And also, okay.
Yes.
Put your shoes on now. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's
which
go to,
implies that you're asking their approval or permission or, yeah. And I don't think that's what parents mean when they do it. I think it's kind of like, you know, like, I think it's like a filler word, but it does imply, you know, there is a hidden meaning to that one.
Or it may mean to the parent, do you understand?
Right, yeah.
Which would be okay if you ask that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but let's move on now, shall we, okay?
Yes, let's go to the third one.
No, but I just did it. You know, did you catch it? We do it so much, this okay business.
Yeah.
Even though I have been talking about it, writing about it, thinking about it, teaching about it, I still catch myself. Saying, okay, sometimes when the child doesn't have a choice.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. Before we move on to soft structure, we are at about 40 after, and we usually do a longer set of announcements, and I don't want to interrupt getting into that. So we're going to do our announcements. And the other thing is that I want to make sure that people know how to get some of the handouts that you provided, because they can be following along. So let me get a drink and take a deeper breath, and these announcements will be a little bit longer, but then we will come back. Let's go into soft structure, and then let's do some examples. And I'll tell people how to call in again, too, and hopefully we'll get some examples to use.
Great.
Okay. For those of you who have just joined us, this is Parents Tool Talk. I'm your host, Jody Johnston-Powell of the Parents Tool Shop, and today we're talking with Jean Ilsley Clark on the subject of overindulgence. If you have any questions during the live show, you can call in at area code 347-205-9654 and hit the 1 on your phone keypad to raise your hand, or send us a question using the chat room at www.parentstooltalk.com. Now, I'm going to check the switchboard for callers, and my producer is actually going to give you some important information about our featured resources this month. Right, Chris?
Sure, Jody. Sure. We have a number of resources for our listeners today. I'll try to get through them quickly and not become unintelligible in the process. So let's start with some resources from our guest, Jean Ilsley Clark. Her book, How Much is Enough, is available on Amazon.com and in bookstores or on the webpage of DeCapo Press. You can find those links on our links page, parentstooltalk.com/links. You can also call 1-800-343-4499 to order the book over the phone. Now, parent and family educators can get the How Much is Enough Leader's Guide in hardbinder or online at Parenting Press. And the phone number to order that Leader's Guide is 800-992-6657, 1-800-992-6657. Jean is also offering a number of free resources available at her website, overindulgence.info. These are all documents that you can download to your computer and print. The first is The Test of Four, and which we've been discussing here today. Second is an assessment tool that helps adults decide if a specific gift or product or parental behavior is an overindulgence. Third is a quick sheet titled, Are My Kids Overindulged? Now, this is a normally paid resource that's being offered free to our listeners, and you'll find instructions for how to download it for free at our links page. And a special thanks to Betsy Crary at Parenting Press for offering this gift free to our listeners. Also, we have an opportunity for those of you who love to participate in research, and you know who you are because I'm one of them. The Overindulgence Project at Concordia University, St. Paul, headed by Drs. David J. Braithoft, I sure hope I pronounced that right, Jean Ilsley Clark, and Connie Dawson, need you for their online research studies. So to take part in the research, go to www.overindulgence, that's all one word, .info, I-N-F-O. Click on the button that says, actually it's not a button, it's just text, that says, click here to participate in a new research study near the top of the page. It's a 10 to 30 minute questionnaire. You fill that out to participate in the study. Jody also usually takes a few minutes at this point to give away a bunch of free resources from her. This month we have one resource and we have one big announcement and one favor, actually, to ask our listeners. Jody's free resource this month is an article from the Parents Tool Shop website on banning summer boredom. You can find a link you can find a link to that at parentstooltalk.com/links. Now, here is the big announcement. We have been pursuing a very exciting opportunity here at Parents Tool Shop, and I don't want to take too much time away from Jody and our guests, but would like to tell you briefly what's happening. Jody is auditioning to get her own TV talk show on Oprah Winfrey's, if Oprah were here, Oprah Winfrey's new OWN network. Jody spent all Memorial Day weekend creating a video audition, and I helped out with the audio. She submitted it in early June and needs to get enough votes to be in the top 5 videos. That guarantees her a chance to move on to the next round of competition. So the favor is, if you listen to this show, have visited the Parents Tool Shop website, or taken a class, and like the proven effective advice that you've received, then please go to her audition page, view the video, and vote as often as you can each day until midnight on July 3rd, 2010. That's how we're going to get this video into the top five. Now, to find her audition video, you can go to www.parentstooltalk.com/links. You can also go to oprah.com and click on the Your Own Show image in the top right-hand corner, then click Browse and Vote on that page, and type in her name, Jody, J-O-D-Y, into the search field. Her show is in the category of Health and Well-Being, and starts with her stating her name and credentials and then saying, I have a question for you. The Parents Tool Shop team has been working overtime to get the word out about this video, and we could use your help there too. So please tell everyone you know to check out the video and vote. You can quickly send people on your Facebook and Twitter accounts to that page using the share buttons next to the vote button on the audition page itself. After the show ends today, Jody is flying to Dallas, Texas for a live audition to boost her chances of moving to the next round of competition. So she'll be posting updates to Facebook and Twitter. So if you want to follow that adventure, you can join our network there on Facebook or Twitter. And you will find links to all these resources described here at our links page, www.parentstooltalk.com/links. That's www.parentstooltalk, all one word, .com/links. And now, Jody, before I hand things back to you, one quick announcement. Parents Tool Talk is going on summer break until September 2010. We are focusing on this Oprah opportunity and attending to some summer projects as well. Our plan is to return in September with a new and improved show. So to stay updated, you can subscribe to our iTunes feed or join the Parents Tool Talk mailing list. And directions for all that, again, at parentstooltalk.com/links. Okay, that's it. Back to you, Jody.
All right. And thank you. That little bit longer announcements than usual, but you don't get opportunities like that very often. And while only one person can get in terms of getting the information, kind of getting selected, this radio show is a prime example of what I would hope to do with a TV show, which is to feature guest experts who are research-based, focusing on a topic, except we would have that added addition of being able to actually go and see some parents, see how they are before, take a class from Jean or read the book or get that information and then see, so that everybody can get that information and then see how they implement that and follow them around afterwards and see the results. So thank you, everyone, for your support. All right, Jean, did you get a drink there? Let's finish up. Good. And also on that links page, there is a handout actually that has the three things that the three different types of overindulging and the risk factors. Yes. So if you're listening, you can do that. If anybody is just listening on the phone, I did check the switchboard. We do have people on the line, but their hands aren't up, so I'm assuming they're just listening and don't have a question. So if at any point you do have a question, just hit that one button, and we will let Jean finish what she's saying, but then between questions, we will come and get your question. So let's finish taking a look at this. And pick up where we left off and tell us a little bit about soft structure.
Soft structure. I think you said that when you first started working with parents, often they were, I don't remember your word, harsh, overly controlling. What did you say?
Yeah, more harsh, autocratic, over-controlling.
Autocratic, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, me too. That's what I found when I first started. Working with parents. And we were helping them to be more open to the children's needs, more understanding of development, more looking at the child as an individual rather than a package that's two. And then it feels, Jody, as if we've just swung that pendulum way over and thrown out some of the structure. And this is not just on the family basis. It's culturally. When I was a little girl, which was a long time ago, If I misbehaved, nobody called the police, and they didn't even call my parents. They just straightened me up.
Mm-hmm.
They just said, you can't do that. You know, some other adult. Just stop that and go do this instead. That's gone. Now you're not supposed to say anything to anybody else's children, even if they step on your foot.
Yeah.
So we live in this culture of overindulgence. It's no wonder we all overindulge at times.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talk about overindulging, what I talk about, what I think about, what I hope for, is that we all keep it at a minimum. Because we live in this time of get it all, have it all now, use it up, throw it out, da-da-da-da-da. So
there's enough indulgence. We don't need to overindulge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, and of course, one of the exciting things about doing research like this is you run into things you hadn't thought about before. And then you get to think about, ooh, what does this mean? So what did they tell us big, big time? My parents did not expect me to do chores. And I thought, chores? They're complaining because they didn't get to do chores?
Yeah.
Yes. 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 They're complaining because they didn't get to do chores. So I hated chores. My kids hated chores. I did them. My kids did them. I had never thought about them. But you see, Jody, what's so exciting to me is to think about what magnificent teachers for adult lives chores are. Because what I've identified so far, and, you know, maybe a year from now I'll have better stuff, I don't know, is that chores teach five things. Number one, you have to know what is the job. Number two, do I have the skills to do it? And number three, collect the gear and do it. Number four, finish it.
Yeah.
Number five, put the gear away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that every day we go to work, whether your work is running a tool, parent tools, expanding, using, finding new tools, mining your shop, or whether my job is writing an article or working on a chapter of a book today, or whether the engineer's job is building a machine, we all do those five things. We all say, what is the job? Do I have the skills? We collect the gear and do the job. Mm-hmm. We finish it for the day, and then we put the gear away.
And if I could add one in there, I would add in paying attention to quality. Because I find a lot of people will just do the minimum. You know, I finished, but it's not really done well.
Yeah, that's really good. On the do. Doing it well. Doing the job and doing it well.
At least doing your best. Yeah.
Doing it with quality.
Yeah.
Yeah, with your quality. And then I've thought about how we teach those skills a little bit at a time. Like when Addie was, she's my second youngest grandchild. I just remember this with her. I was teaching her to set the table. Well, the first thing I did was hand her a handful of knives and forks and said, put these on the table, which she did in a clump. She did what I had told her to do, and I got to say, you did what I asked.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time I said, put some by everybody's place, which she did, knives here, forks there, spoons there. And I got to say, good. You did what I asked you to. And then within 6 months, she and I are working a puzzle, and I say, you have to finish the puzzle by yourself. Now, she's three. I say, you have to finish the puzzle by yourself because I have to go fix lunch. She says, I'll set the table. And she about knocks me over on the way to the kitchen. And by the time I've got the refrigerator open and the food out on the counter, she's got knives and forks at every place.
Wow.
Well, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
This is just beautiful. And I'm just getting to see the beauty of these chores. Now, why don't parents have kids do chores? Well, number one, the kids complain. Number two, the parents are tired. Number three, it takes more time. Mm-hmm. Number four, I can do it better. You know, there are so many reasons.
Now, are chores the only issue? Because I see we're running, we've only got till 3 minutes before the hour when we start to wrap up, so I know we're starting to run out of time. Is that the
only?
Oh,
my goodness.
Yeah.
No, rules. There were no rules. I didn't have to follow them. There were no consequences. And so these people grow up without boundaries. And then they step on other people in the workplace,
mm-hmm.
and they get in trouble. And so...
And I would imagine it's hard for them to even hold a job if they're not completing things or being irresponsible or
expecting
that job to come on a silver platter.
Yeah, one of the constant responses, and there are many of these in the How Much Is Enough book, are, I can't keep a job.
Mm-hmm.
How much is enough? And there are so many stories in there about each of these. And also, the test of four is in
there. Yes,
so
I want to make sure we get to that.
Yeah.
Share that
so,
with everyone.
When you want to say what I'm going to do right now today, would this be overindulging? You say, would it delay the child learning the developmental task they should be learning at this age? And then you say, would it take too much or too many of the family resources, money, space, time, energy? And does it give more to one child in an unfair way than to the other children in the family? Whose needs are being met? Jody, the crucial one. Is this more for the parent or for the child?
Mm-hmm.
And then would it do possible harm away from us? Harm to others, harm to the property, the environment, the community. And if any of those issues raise a red flag, then my job is to really look at it, not to just say, oh, I'm overindulging, me bad. Come on. You know. Then our job is just to look at it and say, well, no, in this instance, I think this is okay. Or maybe I do this too often.
Mm-hmm.
But
go ahead, finish.
This is something we have to do ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we need to look within. So this is what a parent would do to ask themselves. Someone else can't answer these questions for a parent.
Right.
Okay, so it's a self-questioning. And then I'm positive that the response is going to be very individualized to the situation, but would you say, because I'm kind of been hearing a theme today, that a lot of the response has to do with setting boundaries, setting more limits, and that may look a little bit different depending on what the situation is, if it's chores or it's attention or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's,
yeah, I think,
I'm hearing
I think another
a theme.
Another way to say that, Jody, is being willing to be the parent
and
be in charge.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I do want to make sure that everyone goes to our links page and gets these handouts so that you can print those out. And, Jean, with us taking a break over the summer, we normally only have someone's resources featured for 1 month until the next guest comes on. But yours is going to get to be featured all summer long, and I couldn't be happier that we can continue to plug this. So let me do a little bit of wrap-up here.
Good luck with your Oprah thrust.
Thank you. I want to feature folks like you. Everyone, our guest today has been Jean Ilsley Clark, and we've been talking about overindulgence. Remember to check out her website at overindulgence.info. Foster parents, remember to check out from the call. Everyone, remember to vote for my video. And remember to go to the links page all summer long. Check out all the information there. And any final comments before you hear the music, Jean?
Be as strong as you can and overindulge as little as you can. And cherish your own good heart.
That sounds very helpful. So thank you again so much, Jean. It's been such an honor to have you on the show. Just went way too quick. I would love to have you back again. Keep us informed about the research, and we are promoting that, so folks get involved with that. Thank you, everyone, for listening and joining us today on Parents Tool Talk. I'm Jody Johnston-Powell, and you can learn more about Parents Tool Shop at parentstoolshop.com. Parents Tool Talk will return in September. Until then, check out our episode archives, both on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio, and stay connected through our Facebook and Twitter communities. I wish you all a great weekend and a wonderful summer. I will be checking in over the weekend from Dallas. So join Facebook and Twitter today and keep on a-voting. I will talk with you in the fall, and we'll be staying in touch between now and then. Take care, everyone. Happy summer.